Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with three professors helping me understand a story that, well, it would make a movie, except it wouldn't be believable. Okay. Kyiv is under fire. It's under siege. The Russians keep advancing in some fashion. It's fog of war. We do know, however, the Kyiv School of Economics is in session with webinars, with meetings, the students and faculty in Kyiv, both volunteers for the resistance. It's resistance. It's not insurgency. This is an unconquered country. And also participating in their classwork. Three professors, Anna Nagurny from UMass, Charles Becker from Duke University, and Paul Gregory from Hoover Institution at Stanford are here to help me understand the details in Kyiv. We now turn to the map of Europe. And Charles, I want to start with you because the open letter about energy takes into account European energy needs for now and for next winter, where there will be a shortfall unless and until. But the larger story of the remaking of Europe, because right now I report to you that 62% of the polled respondents in the country of Finland say they're ready to join NATO. The Baltic states are eager to have deployment, permanent deployment across the front lines. The fate of Ukraine is undetermined. However, all of the Black Sea Basin to the Baltic Basin is now enraged against Russia. How will this change the ambitions that you cite about security in Europe over the next generation? Can you speculate for us, Charles?
Well, it's easy to speculate. Thanks so much for having us all on your show, Mr. Batchelor, and we're honored to be here. I think that in terms of speculation, right now, there's still, you know, the Western and Central Europe are still substantially dependent on Russian energy sources. It's important to decouple politics from energy dependency to the extent that we can. And that means making efforts to increase supply of energy, in particular coming out of Norway and the United Kingdom, but also North America. It's important to undertaking both short and long-term energy conservation incentives and measures. Especially the United States, very heavy energy consuming country, not only needs to increase supply, it needs to figure out ways to reduce consumption to make more energy available to the rest of to Western Europe and the rest of the world.
Anna, your comments about the map of Europe being reshaped into what appears right now, the metaphor is Cold War II. It's even stranger than that. And the energy needs necessary to provide for the population that exists and also to look to the next generation in this transition to renewables. What can you imagine is an outcome immediately at hand, Anna, over the next 10 or 20 years? Can you speculate for us?
It's difficult for me to say that. I would like to mention that I'm the daughter of refugees from Ukraine during World War II. So what is happening now is very personal. Okay. It's, you know, it really hits me. I've lived in Europe. I've had Fulbrights. I've lived in multiple countries, in Sweden several times, in Austria, also in England. I think this is a period in history that the world has to unite, not only for the purpose of democracy, but also for energy security. We need to isolate Russia as much as possible. They're essentially, you know, a gas station. They don't have any useful exports. There are a few minerals. They are a huge importer. And if the sanctions are starting to work, and that's going to, you know, essentially bring them down to their knees. If they can't import, you know, what they really need, the population is going to be really, really upset. Okay, but energy now, you know, with climate change, it's one of the most important issues that we're all faced with. And I think if, as Professor Becker was saying, we need to conserve, we need renewables, and in the short term, we actually have to probably drill more and just do more to bring the prices down, because the U.S. is battling inflation. That's something yes. really important. And also Germany relies so heavily on Russia's oil and especially gas.
Paul, in the last minute now, what can you say about your understanding of where we are in this conflict, not the battlefield, but the conflict about energy security in Europe, especially Germany, which is going to need another supply. It does not now have any way of counting on Russia. We have about 30 seconds, Paul.
I would say we should look to Germany. And one of the most notable things on German news tonight was the fact that there was approximately 1 million Germans in various major cities out demonstrating against Russia. As long as Germany can keep a tight hold on this, and the new chancellor, Scholz, who has turned German policy around with respect to Russia to a much harder stance, if Germany keeps it up, I think we'll be okay. On the battlefield, there are all kinds of signs of good things that are happening, despite the fact, the terrible fact, that civilians are being killed in large numbers.
The Keefe School of Economics is open for business. I thank Professors Gregory, Becker, and Nagurny. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.